Welcome back to the deep dive. So let's just, for a moment, forget everything you think you know about chatbots answering questions. Today we're talking about AI that stops, well, st stops talking about work and actually starts doing it. We're going to break down agentic AI, specifically why someone working in Microsoft Fabric or Power BI needs, a working assistant, not just a conversational assistant.
And that distinction is, I mean, that's the entire mission for this deep dive. The terminology can get so overwhelming.
Oh, absolutely.
So before we touch a single demo or tool, we really need to build that solid mental foundation. We're here to define the structure, the core concepts, so you can really get the architecture behind true automation.
And the sources we've looked at, they paint a very specific picture of what this is actually for. It's not general purpose AI.
No, not at all. The goal is super focused. It's about improving your productivity on real projects, assisting people in a controlled, responsible way. It's about making you faster and more consistent.
Which right away brings up that big fear, right? Replacement. So let's be really clear up front. Where does this fit in the data engineering world?
It is not about replacing experienced engineers. And it's definitely not a deep dive into machine learning theory. Think of it as a structured automation layer. It just helps you by handling the predictable, repeatable parts of the job.
Okay, one other really crucial point for anyone listening who's thinking about just hitting the Copilot button in Fabric or Power BI, are we talking about the built-in tools?
No, absolutely not. The kind of agentic AI we're discussing today, the kind that does multi-step planning, uses tools, executes externally, that is not currently available in the built-in Copilot experiences.
Okay.
Those Copilots are conversational. They're great. They give you good answers.
But they're not this. So when we say agentic AI, we mean a completely external setup. You're using things like VS Code, external frameworks, special protocols to connect safely to your environment.
That distinction is just critical. Otherwise, the expectations for what the native tools can do will be completely wrong. We're moving AI from being a conversational partner.
To a workflow tool.
Exactly.
Okay, let's unpack this. So that gets to the heart of the process problem, right? Why agentic AI matters so much for data and analytics? We've both seen it. Fabric and Power BI projects, they're complex, but the complexity is almost never the DAX being too hard or the math being too advanced.
It rarely is. The sources are pretty clear that the real complexity, the real time suck, comes from the sheer amount of repetitive structured tasks that have to follow these rigid rules.
Give me a concrete example of that. What's that time suck feel like?
Okay, imagine you're losing, say, 3 hours every single week. What are you doing? You're manually checking cardinality across 30 different semantic models.
Oh, that's painful.
Or reviewing every single relationship, validating measures against some Word document, making sure naming conventions are consistent for governance. You know you have to do these things, but they are just soul-crushingly repetitive. An agent doesn't just check it. It gives you back a fully structured, auditable log of every single finding in minutes.
I think the biggest surprise for me from the sources was just how sharp that line is between talking and working. If chat AI is for learning, what is agentic AI for?
Chat-based AI is. It's reactive. You ask a question, it gives you back a synthesized answer. Great for finding information. Agentic AI is proactive, it's operational. You don't give it a question, you give it a goal.
A tangible objective, like audit this entire data model against our corporate naming standard and report back with a list of failures.
Precisely. Once it has that goal, the agent breaks it down into specific smaller steps. It uses specialized tools to inspect your actual systems. The real metadata in Fabric applies predefined rules and then produces structured, actionable results that you can then review.
So the takeaway is, chat AI talks, agentic AI follows a workflow, a transparent, observable workflow against a real system. It's not just a burst of text.
Not just language, it's a sequence of actions.
All right, so we know why we need it. Let's get into the architecture. The mental model you mentioned. The human sets the goal, and this AI agent is in the middle, surrounded by skills, guardrails, memory, and tools.
And we have to tackle the biggest misconception right here. The idea that the agent is some kind of autonomous free-thinking worker.
Right, it's not Skynet.
It's not. Not even close.
But if the agent is just the coordinator, doesn't that make things slower? Why not just give it permissions and let it make changes if it thinks it's right?
Because the goal isn't just speed, it's safety, it's auditability. The AI agent is the coordinator, or if you like the CEO of the workflow, its only job is to think and orchestrate.
So it decides which step comes next, which tool to use.
And when to stop. because a guardrail has been hit.
So it's less the programmer and more the slightly neurotic project manager who refuses to touch the keyboard but needs to approve everyone's work. I like that. It makes it traceable.
Exactly. The agent doesn't directly query anything or change anything. It orders other things, the tools, to do the work.
Yeah.
And it only operates under the instructions you give it. You define its role, its caution level. It can't just invent a new job for itself.
Okay, so this is vital. The agent thinks and orchestrates. It does not execute. It's the conductor, not the orchestra.
Perfect analogy.
So if the agent is the conductor, we need the orchestra. Let's define these building blocks, starting with the hands of the system, tools.
Tools are the agent's only way of touching real systems. Without tools, the agent is just thinking, just talking. Tools are these small, focused capabilities designed to do one specific thing.
Right.
Like fetching a list of all Power BI measures in a model, or reading one config file, or calling an API to list fabric items. One job.
And the tool itself is passive, right? It's not analyzing the data it fetches.
That's the critical separation. Tools are just executable capabilities. They're not prompts. They do an action. They return a result. That's it. The thinking, the analysis, the decision on what to do with that result, that always stays with the agent.
Right. That separation is key for safety.
It's fundamental.
Okay, next up, skills. This sounds like you're combining tools into routines.
That's a good way to put it. Skills are reusable recipes for a defined task, a playbook. A skill chains together one or more tools, it follows defined rules, and it produces a consistent output every time.
So instead of telling the agent step by step how to run an audit every single time, you just call this semantic model audit skill.
Correct. And the agent knows the sequence, knows the tools, knows the rules. It just encapsulates all that complexity into one repeatable, auditable unit.
And all of this needs a secure connection, which brings us to the Model Context Protocol, or MCP. What is an MCP server, and why is that context part so important?
The MCP is what makes this whole thing safe and practical in a real company.
Mm.
And that model context part is crucial. It defines the universe of data and tools the agent is allowed to see. An MCP server is a highly controlled gateway. It sits between the agent and your systems, like Microsoft Fabric.
Yeah.
And it only exposes very specific tools and data streams in a secure way.
So the agent can only see and use what the MCP server explicitly holds up in front of it.
Exactly. The MCP server enforces all the access rules. If a tool isn't exposed to the MCP server, for the agent, it just doesn't exist. It creates this hard, clear, secure boundary between the agent's brain and your production environment.
That security boundary leads us perfectly into control and consistency. Let's talk guardrails. If the agent is using real tools on potentially real production data, guardrails are the line between helpful automation and, well, a disaster.
They're completely non-negotiable. Guardrails define the boundaries of behavior. And what's critical is that they aren't just polite suggestions in a prompt. They exist across multiple enforced layers.
Where do those layers live, technically?
They start in the system prompt, you know, setting that cautious role. Then they're enforced inside the skill definitions, like mandating a read-only mode for a certain task. But the real trust, the highest level, comes from technical enforcement.
Through the MCP server and permissions.
Right.
So we're not just guiding the agent. We are physically preventing it from, say, running a destructive query in production, even if it thought that was the right answer.
Exactly. That multi-layered approach prompt guidance plus technical blockage, that's what gives you predictability. Guardrails protect the project's integrity. Safety first.
Okay, moving to consistency, we have memory. It sounds like the agent needs to remember its decision so it doesn't just spin in circles.
Memory is purely functional.
Hmm.
You know, people imagine some conscious AI, but here it's just about retaining useful context across steps so it can behave consistently.
And what kind of context is useful?
It could be clarified business rules that a human approved, or known limitations it discovered during an audit, or even just explicit decisions made earlier, like, okay, we are ignoring these 10 legacy measures for now.
And this memory has to be something we can see and verify, right? It can't be a black box.
Oh, absolutely. It has to be explicit. Auditable, usually stored as notes or decision logs. It's just context to ensure consistency, to stop the agent from repeating itself or contradicting its own findings from 5 minutes ago.
And the actual operation is defined by planning and actions.
Planning is the roadmap. It's how the agent breaks a big, complex, goal-like review this model into small, manageable, auditable steps.
So step one, inspect metadata. Step two, review relationships.
Exactly. And actions are the execution. That's the individual steps being performed using the tools. The whole loop is transparent. You plan, you act. You observe the result from the tool, and then you adapt the plan.
So planning decides what should happen, and actions are what actually happens. It's a beautifully auditable loop, exactly what a technical team needs. So let's talk about prompts. In the world of conversational AI, the prompt is everything. It's the source of all power. In this more sophisticated agentic system, where does it fit?
Its role changes completely. In agentic AI, prompts are there to shape behavior and intent, not execution. You are prompting the conductor, not the entire orchestra.
So the system prompt might define the agent's personality, like you are a highly cautious Power BI reviewer focused on governance.
Right, and then the task prompt is just this short instruction. Start the audit on Model Y. That's it. And, you know, we have to repeat the best practice here. You never rely on prompts alone for critical rules. If a rule involves safety, technical guardrails, the MCP, permissions, they have to be the thing that enforces it. Prompts guide behavior. They don't guarantee safety.
And your due diligence as an engineer never goes away. Always ask the agent for the evidence.
Always. You need that traceability back to the metadata, back to the query result.
Right. Without evidence, its finding is just an opinion.
And we can't build production systems on opinions.
So let's bring this all home. For the listener, where does agentic AI deliver the most immediate value in their day-to-day Fabric and Power BI work?
It excels where work is repetitive, structured, and rules-based.
Hmm.
So the best use cases aren't about writing brand new code. It's about reviewing, validating, auditing existing assets.
Like checking semantic models against best practices.
Yep. Running consistent governance audits. Or even just quickly generating a structured summary of metadata when you get put on a new project and you have no idea what's going on.
And where do we, the humans, need to draw the line?
The agent should not be replacing strong business judgment. It shouldn't be making architectural trade-offs or deciding stakeholder priorities. The agent's job is to support those human decisions by giving them structured data and analysis. Yeah. It doesn't make the decision itself.
That clarity is great. Okay, so we've established that agentic AI moves way beyond conversation. It's a structured, controlled, tool-assisted workflow. The agent, tools, skills, the secure MCP, guardrails, they all combine to make a predictable and safe system for technical data work.
And what's next for you, the listener, is moving beyond this foundation into the hands-on setup. That's the next phase. The technical stuff, configuring tools, setting up agents, creating those MCP servers to connect safely to Fabric. That's the implementation that follows this architecture.
Fantastic. And finally, if we really understand this difference between a talking assistant and a working assistant, where every action is planned, every execution is audible, it raises a pretty important question for you to think about. What is the minimum level of human supervision required for a system that can consistently follow complex rules, use real tools against production systems, and adapt its plan, all while knowing that every single step and decision is fully traceable? Something to mull over as you shift your thinking from conversation to coordination.